Hey guys, today's episode with Jason Wilson is fantastic, and it's presented today by our friends at Compassion International. Make sure you check out fillthestadium.com to help children in crisis. We're talking about children that, because of COVID-19, children and their families left in desperate need of help, in dire need of urgent support. Simple things like essential food and nutritional supplements, hygiene solutions, medical screening for COVID-19. It's a really bad spot for so many, and Compassion International has stepped in. They're standing in the gap to help these kids and their families. Check out fillthestadium.com to learn more about how you can donate and help release these kids and their families from poverty. fillthestadium.com.
This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where faith and sports intersect. Now let's bring in our host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome everyone to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We are the intersection of sports and faith. You can check us out at sportsspectrum.com. That is our website with all of our content, podcasts, articles, devotionals, all available right there for free at sportsspectrum.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, Sports Spectrum Weekly, as well. It is a free newsletter for you. All you got to do is put in your email address when you click that newsletter icon at the top, and you're good to go to receive our weekly newsletter and stay in touch with all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum. The website is sportsspectrum.com to sign up today. And man, do we have one powerful conversation with Jason Wilson. He is the author of a brand new book. It's called Battle Cry: Waging and Winning the War Within. Jason is the director of The Cave. It's a program, a nonprofit he founded in 2003. It's been featured on the Dr. Oz Show, the Today Show, CNN, just to name others. He's a faithful husband, a proud dad, and recently he was actually on a very large podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast, and you can hear his story for 3 hours. They talked on Joe Rogan's show, and Jason has been somebody I've wanted to have on for a while, and finally we were able to get that yes locked in and do this conversation now. And again, that new book, Battle Cry, releases September 21st. Man, we talk about masculinity. We talk about helping boys become men. We talk about emotional incarceration. We go really deep on this podcast, but I loved it. I thought it was a great conversation. You're going to love Jason Wilson. He's coming up right now on Sports Spectrum. Jason Wilson, man, welcome to Sports Spectrum. This is an interview I've been excited about, and I'm so glad to have you here on the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here too, Jason. Thanks for having me, and I'm glad it happened. We talked about this for a while, and so I'm glad the timing is perfect, man.
Yeah, and I told you, you know, I heard you recently on Joe Rogan, and I want to just ask you about that experience in a second. But when I first reached out to you, you didn't say no in my request to have you on. You just said, I can't do it right now, but we're going to figure out a good time to do this. And once we get there, let's make sure we have this conversation. That's where we are right now. It's perfect
yes.
timing, but
perfect.
It really made me think about the power of saying no, and saying yes. And a lot of times people feel guilty. I think, especially in the faith circles, that you feel like you have to say yes to everything. And I've learned over the years the power of, you know, not always saying yes, or if you're going to say yes, you know, give the explanation on where you are in your journey. So is yes right now, is yes down the road? Because, and there's also a really, I know you talk about this a lot, there's a real freedom in being able to say no, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an amazing freedom in it. You know, that's why Yeshua or Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And you can always say yes after no, but when you say no after saying yes, you look like the bad guy. And so sometimes I even say not now, you know, because, you know, people will make, you know, their emergency your emergency. And now you're thrown off of what, you know, the Most High has told you to do, because you're basically, Paul calls it civilian affairs. But a good soldier is only focused on what he who sent him to do in this battle. And so I can't always say yes to everything, you know, and some people say, well, I need you at this event and this event. I say, if you need me at that event for that event to be successful, maybe you're not called to do that event. Because I, and that's a hard truth. That's why I don't really ask a lot of people to come to a lot. And I don't, and if they say no, I tell them to say no sometimes. They say, well, man, my birthday and this and that. And again, that's the faith piece, like feeling like we just have to always be everything to everyone. And I said, wait a minute, no, your birthday is that weekend, or your anniversary. I said, oh, you can't come. Well, no. I want to be there and help the boys. No, I won't let you come. Because I know sometimes they're struggling with saying no, because they genuinely want to help, but at the same time, they're hurting themselves and their families. Now, your family wants to celebrate you for your birthday or whatever, or Father's Day. Like, I don't do any speaking engagements on Father's Day weekends.
Wow, really? And that's such an important topic for you, right?
Because still, I'll be hypocritical, right? Unless you want to pay for my entire family to fly where I am, you know? And so that's the thing, Jay. It's just, it's about, you know, I say this too, in Battle Cry, we've mastered, as believers, followers of Christ, we've mastered the dove. The innocence of the dove, we got it. We know what it looks like. We know how to be kind and all these other things. You know, a lot of times it's false humility. However, we've mastered this gentleness, okay? But we haven't mastered the shrewdness of the snake. Yeshua said, be both. Be as innocent as a dove, but as shrewd as a snake. Yeah. And so shrewdness means wise and crafty and always looking. So when someone asks me something, the shrewdness kicks in. I'm like, my heart is the dove. I want to help. But wait a minute. How can this put me in a disadvantageous position mentally and emotionally? Do I even have the mental capacity to speak at this event? Because I just spoke at two other events. And so I just say, not now, or no, this isn't the time. I say, but we'll circle back soon. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. Especially someone like you, man, a lot you have going on, you know, you got to just say, just know is the power of no is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And not feel guilty about it and know that, you know, rest is important and, you know, your time is important. You have to guard that time, especially if you're a dad. And I know for you, you didn't always have the greatest experience of being or having a father in your life. That's we have a couple things in common. First of all, our first name, obviously we have a great first name,
yes, we do.
But we also have father wounds that we've dealt with. I wrote about it in forgiveness in my first book, and the 40 years that I battled in a very strained relationship with my own father. And I know you had a lot of father wounds in your life. Can you kind of take me through that? And really how it affected you early on as you began to see where God was taking you.
I mean, well, as a child, you know, just to only seemingly hear everything you're not doing from the man you look up to is demoralizing, is devastating to the psyche. And I didn't believe in myself for so long. And to have a dad in the same city who rarely saw me, except on Mondays, which was the mandated by the court, friend of the court, for him to see me. And it always felt mandated. It didn't feel like he wanted to be with me. And so that hurt, that hindered me in walking in my calling of what the Heavenly Father gave me. Because this is what's interesting about the father wound, is that the way we view our fathers is the same way we view our Heavenly Father. So for me, I felt that I had to perform to receive my father's love. Okay. Mm-hmm. That played out against God the Most High. Okay. So I started thinking, when you first get saved, you're on fire, you got the bumper stickers, Jesus is Lord, everything, the t-shirts, the hats. I wasn't radical, I was extreme. It's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And one draws, the other pushes people away. I thought I had to perform. I started using scriptures to justify saying yes to everything. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it unto the Lord. I use that with everything, Jay, because I thought to get his love and affection and affirmation that I had to go above and beyond. I had to be the best ever, the best Christian ever.
Right.
And, you know, when you hold that to his standard, you know, I was telling a friend of mine who was stressed over some things that are happening in his country. I said, he said, don't you think I should do something? I said, you're very adamant about that. But we got to be careful, because our righteousness is as filthy as rags to the Most High. Were you as adamant about the way the veterans are treated? Were you just as adamant about this issue as Jim Crow laws? I went down the line, widows and orphans. He was like, Whoa, he said. I said, so that's how you check your heart, you know? And so imagine thinking that God is the guy around the corner waiting to hit you with a paddle for every mistake you make. That was my life. And it wore me out, you know, to a point where I felt like my life was just empty. Everything was performance based. And so when things stopped for a moment, I felt worthless, man. And the Most High told me in the message I tell men now, stop. You're worth more than your work. Okay. You know, because it was something that in the beginning he gave Adam this responsibility. And then later it became a curse because of him and Eve's sin.
Yeah.
We only, Jay, identify with the things we do. So that's why we can't rest. That's why it's hard for us to say no. That's why we grind all the time, which really grinding is a negative word. And us, me and you being men of the Most High, we know the scriptures teach us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you look up the word grind, it means to torment, to wear down, to crush, to oppress. And that's why, especially you work on ESPN, people say they're grinding. They got coffee in their hand, energy drinks at all times, and they look worn down.
Yeah.
Because that's not how he wanted us to live. He didn't want us to live from my work. He wanted us to work, we'll live from my rest and work from my rest as well.
Yeah, these athletes, though, are taught to use that word grind. That's mm-hmm. what you hear. You hear us say, I'm out here grinding, bro. I'm out here grinding, you know, trying to prove my worth, trying to make it, trying to do this and that. And then when you combat the idea of, or compare the idea of being an athlete who's all about achieving and accomplishment and trying to, you know, earn whatever that is all the way up to the big contract down to just approval from a coach or whatever in playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to combat that with your spiritual life. That's where you run up against the wall a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't make sense to tell me that my works are like filthy rags in the spiritual realm when mm-hmm. all I'm trying to do in the physical or the worldly realm is trying to do so well and accomplish and achieve, right?
Mm-hmm. But the key thing is, so, and this is a hard word, okay? We were created to do what? Worship God, worship our Lord. That's it.
That's it.
So whatever you're doing, if it's not centered around that purpose, okay, you know, I would tell a lot of my boys, I say, you know, was Michael Jordan created to play basketball? And they get quiet because it's a tricky question. I said, or was it just a great talent he developed with hard work? And they say the latter, because we know why our God created us. So for me, the Cave of Adullam, what I do with boys and how it's, you know, reached a lot of people nationally, even worldwide, it birthed from me giving him glory. It birthed from me wanting to transform, teach, train, and transform boys into comprehensive men of the Most High. Why? Because then more glory will go to him. The families will change. The community will change. So that's what I learned to center my life around. In chapter 4, yeah, of my book, Abort Your Shadow Mission, I talk about my years of wanting to be a producer, Jay. You know, I wanted to make music, yes. And I was successful. Yeah. I was on the cusp of a platinum record. But it wasn't what I was called to do. It's something that I wanted to do. Is there something wrong with that? Absolutely not. But I needed to walk in my calling. If not, I stayed in the place where I never advanced. So here it is. I'm thinking, even when I gave my life to Christ, I stopped doing secular music, chasing Grammys, to start doing Christian hip hop so I can chase a Stellar Award. Do you see how it's the same thing? It's that desire.
Yes.
And I said, this is how I can get the gospel and help people who are in dark. You know, we always would justify it. And that's why I deal with the soul and battle cry, because that's our enemy. Satan uses our desires against us. The Bible says it's our own evil desires that draw us astray. So I'm thinking, Jay, like, well, the only way I can reach these people is through this hip hop, because this is what I must be meant to do, because I did music, I DJ.
Yeah.
When I answered my calling to help boys become men, comprehensive men, now I mean, like you just said, Joe Rogan reached out to me.
Yeah.
Because he even said it's a calling. And a calling, you know, I have a saying, this is another thing to the principle of saying no. You need to know what you're called to do, or you'll be doing what everyone is calling you to do.
Say that again.
You need to know what you're called to do, or you'll be doing what everyone is calling you to do.
Yeah.
And so once I figured out my one thing, what he created me to do, what Moses was created to do, what Joshua was, you can go down the line, that one thing. It's easier to say no because it's not aligned with that narrow path that I'm walking. It's broad. It looks good. But if I walk a broad path, that can lead me off the narrow. And so it's important that we know what we're called to do and walk in it. And then, you know, and understand when you understand why you were created, like, okay, am I bringing him glory? You can always juxtapose that to what you're doing. You know, one time at one point in my life, Jay, I would say, man, how many brothers have I really modeled what this freedom looks like? You know, that they say, I want to know more about the God you serve. And I said, man, how many people have I baptized? Because I would take them out to the Detroit River. Once they give their life to Christ, we go out in the river, we baptize them and in the discipleship. Ask the average follower of Christ, are you really doing what he says? So we, what you'll hear a lot is we'll pray for him to come, right? That's what everyone says. Right? Come, Lord Jesus, come back. You know, we're waiting on your return.
Yeah.
Well, in the book of Amos, the Most High says, he says, woe to whoever prays for the day of the Lord, because it's not going to be a day of joy. What we should be concerned about, instead of asking him to come back, we should be more concerned about, are we doing what he said to do before he left? And that's the biggest issue. So when people say to me, we're in the last days, look at the signs. Man, my mother said that. My grandmother said that. I can go every generation. I said, so when I look out here, when I ask kids, I'm speaking to a group of 50 or 100 kids, and I say, how many of you guys believe in God? About four raise their hand. And I say, how many of you guys believe in the devil? Everybody raised their hand.
Wow.
Because you see evil. You just don't see a counter to it. So it looks like, oh, it's the end time. Oh. No, because, and this is just real, too many of us are cowardly. And then Yeshua, Jesus says in Revelations that the cowardly would not enter the kingdom. And so it's really about finding out why he created you and walking in that boldly. And, you know, can you play basketball? Like, perfect example, Chris Broussard. He left ESPN because he couldn't really live in his purpose there.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? That's a prime example. And look how God still blesses that brother.
Yeah, he's doing great things with Fox Sports. He's still doing his broadcasting thing, but it's about the King movement is where his calling is. Right.
And it's clear he's still respected, and you're talking about doing something, a desire, but it's still rooted in his why. And that's he's the perfect example. I need a picture of him in this in my office. He's the perfect example of it. Man, I took my hat off when he was catching all the flack, and he held his ground and said, "Hey, this is just what it is."
Yeah.
And look at him, man. Look at that brother.
Yeah, that's, you know, my guy. So, I love Chris Broussard.
Oh, well, amazing.
He's an awesome dude. You're an awesome dude as well, Jason Wilson. And your book is called Battle Cry. You've alluded to it a few times. Waging and Winning the War Within. It's out September 21st, and people need to go get it. It's not just me going through this book either, because a conversation, and we won't be able to talk for 3 hours. But you and Joe Rogan did for 3 hours. You alluded to the conversation with Joe.
Yeah,
you know, that show is not for everybody. I caution that, especially if you're listening to this show and you have your kids listening. Make sure you, as an adult, go listen to the Rogan, Jason Wilson conversation before you let the kiddos listen. But Joe is really, really talented at what he does. His audience is massive, Jay. And I'm just curious, I guess this is just me and curiosity in general, because I listen to Joe's show because I really want to be a better host and I just be better at what I do with this role here at Sports Spectrum now. And Joe's a guy who I think is one of the best in his craft at what he does. He just facilitates a conversation. He asks questions, but he really listens, and he just facilitates a conversation. And you had this opportunity to go on that show, and I was listening and I'm like, all right, Jason Wilson isn't shying away from the gospel here. because it's easy to do that, right? If you're in a secular audience where maybe God's not brought up. And I thought Joe Rogan was very open and willing to hear your story, and you did not shy away from that. I'm curious for you what that experience was like, and the audience and how massive it is, and maybe some of the aftermath, because it's been a few weeks now since that show aired as we record this. Just what that, what you saw as an opportunity to talk to an audience like that, and how that maybe, you know, maybe just one or two people even that heard your interview and said, man, you were speaking to me. I've walked through this. I've been through this. And I just would be curious to hear what that experience was like.
Well, man, when I you know, when I first got there, I have a saying, you know, the leader by his team, okay, or her team. When I walked in, Joe's staff were amazing, like kind. And what's cool, the guys there, they were, I think, paratroopers. Like, you know, he has security because he has a lot of celebrities to come there.
Yes.
You can tell these guys, no joke, okay? But they were kind and we were kicking it, laughing. I mean, they treated my son like family. I said, wow, this is cool. So when Joe comes in, it's the same thing. So to really feel, you listen to his podcast, but when you really meet the guy, it's really different. He, during the interview, man, it was just such a mutual respect. And then, like, you know, I'm so used to listening to Joe. I wanted him to talk more because I wanted to listen to Joe.
That's right.
But his gift, man, he allows the conversation just to go, and then he interjects. And that's why he's so good and popular, and people want to be on his show, because he's a great listener. And not too many people have that when they interview. Sometimes you want to turn the camera to the person asking you the questions, you know,
right.
But the experience, man, and he really affirmed me, man, because at one point in the interview, I got choked up. I said, you know, I want to go home with my father. And he says, man, it's heavy, isn't it? Then he says, it's a calling. I said, you hit it right on the head. And he affirmed me, you know, even on the show, he says, man, more people need to hear this message. And then after, he says, man, just get ready because it's needed. And when you can look in his eyes, like, of course, I was amazed when I walked in the studio because you see it on TV, like, wow, this is cool. But as I talked to Joe, I began to care for him like he was my brother. So then I have the gift of discernment, and which is a gift and can be a burden as well, because you kind of can read into people, especially when you care. So I told him, I said, man, this is cool. I said, but when the lights cut off, if all of this went away, I would care about you, you know?
Yes.
And so to feel that from him, and it was just, it's definitely, I think, the best interview. I've interviewed with Dr. Oz and a few others. Joe was just real, man. It was just a great experience, man, overall, especially with the staff, you know, just everything, Jay. It was really great.
Did you have a lot of response after? I have to imagine.
Oh, amazing. So he laughed. That's
the response was crazy.
He said when he said he had to run back into the studio, he said, get ready. I said, get ready for what? You know, and he was like, you'll see. Just get ready. Man, when I went to the YouTube channel, because a friend of mine called me, he says, Jay, you know, typically YouTube videos, you get 1,000 dislikes off anything. I don't care if you're saving a kitten from a burning building. You just have a thought. And just to see, at the time, it was less than 200 dislikes. So when you read the comments, to see all of my brothers of different ethnicity just sharing their hearts, it's almost a 500,000 views. Yeah. And the comments were in the thousands. I'm like, it really encouraged me to keep going. And then the men who listened, I had people saying, because I want to learn how to play the guitar, because it's a way for me to release when I have like heavy compassion fatigue. I have professionals who have been on, like, the Jimmy Fallon show, is saying, hey, I love to teach you, man, just for free. I want to pour into you as you pour it out.
Wow.
When I hear that stuff, it just, it's like, it's again, it's God saying, son, I know you're weary. I know you're tired, but keep going. Yeah. Here's some more fruit of your labor so you can see it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And so that's what, and then, you know, a friend of mine called it the Rogan effect. My books have been like my Cry Like a Man, which I wrote prior to this one.
Yeah.
And Battle Cry have been top 5 in like 3 categories on Amazon since the episode.
Incredible.
You know, and so it's just people are buying Cry Like a Man because they want to know more about what I talked about, but then they want Battle Cry so they know how to wage and win the war within so that they can live that life. And so
that's great, man.
It's just amazing, man. It was really a great experience.
Let's take a quick break from our Sports Spectrum podcast conversation to tell you a little bit more about our partners and sponsors, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Compassion is about releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. And over the last year and a half, it's been a very tough go for all of us during this pandemic. But due to COVID-19, 70,000 kids and their families in Compassion programs have been left in dire, dire situations, and they need our urgent support. 70,000 is also the capacity of an average pro football stadium. And so here's what's happening. Compassion has partnered with our pro athlete friends to help fill the stadium, to fill a stadium worth of children in need, 70,000 kids in need. Now you can go to fillthestadium.com right now to learn more and to donate and help these kids and their families during these critical next few months. Every donation helps fill a seat toward a year of needed support, talking about things like essential food, nutritional supplements, hygiene solutions, and medical screenings for COVID-19. Think about that. You can make this difference right now in a kid and their family's life by donating through Compassion at fillthestadium.com. And so far, we've filled over 60,000 seats. Our goal is to help 70,000 kids, and you and I can partner right now with Compassion and make that a reality. Go to fillthestadium.com to learn more and donate today. fillthestadium.com. Jason Wilson's our guest here on Sports Spectrum. We're the intersection of sports and faith. So we have a lot of athletes, coaches, kids in, you know, youth sports that listen to this podcast. And you talk about how your really calling is to help boys become men. And a lot of boys listen to this show, but I would also argue that there's a lot of men who are still boys too. I think if you knew me at 22, I was still a boy, even though I was 4 years into my adult life, right? Tell me about when the switch clicked for you that this was the calling that you were supposed to go into. Because like you said, music, the producing, but actually finding the calling, there's got to be a switch somewhere that God says, okay, now actually you need to do this. Start walking into this. Because a lot of people, I think, want to follow the calling that God has placed them, but they're either afraid or they don't even know if that's the calling. If the door is clearly open and you're supposed to walk through it, they don't even see the door because they're so blinded by whatever they're in. For you, what was the switch that took place for you?
Man, definitely wasn't 22.
Seriously, it wasn't for me either.
I have a saying that inside every man, there's a broken boy.
Yeah.
And that boy needs to be healed. And you mentioned coaches. A lot of times you'll see it in these good-hearted men who just, you know, I'm praying for more coaches who focus on character more than championships.
Yes.
Even when you find those, they're hurting. And I'm like, man, well, who's the coach? The coach, you know, help the coach. So for me, I had a lot of coaches to help me. But even with that help, even with me becoming a follower of Christ, I still struggled greatly, man, because it was my emotions. I wasn't broken. I was a soulish Christian. I was led by my emotions instead of God's spirit. Hmm. And that didn't change until I prayed to be broken, you know, because I knew I was in his way. You know, I was no longer running from him like I did so many years when I was what they would call just living the life that you want to live. But I wasn't running towards him. I was just walking in that direction. And I said, you know what? The only way for you to use me, you're going to have to break. That started when I went to have a shoulder repair, my labrum, outpatient surgery, man. And make a long story short, when they removed the trach, I think, out of my neck, whatever it was used to put me to sleep, I think that's what it was called, my lungs started filling with fluid and I was drowning. So the doctors, instead of doing what they should do, they called my wife because they thought I was just acting emotional, just coming up out of surgery. So she says, he's drowning. You know, so they had to put, you know, I forgot what it's called, down my throat so that I can breathe again. That started my journey, because what was crazy about that, Jay, the lady who was prepping me was a really nice lady. And after she finished, she says, don't lose the faith. And I knew something was going to happen, so much so, Jay, that I had my beard trimmed. I had it dyed back then because I didn't like all this gray. And I had my son's hair cut, because if I'm dead, I didn't want the mortician messing up my facial hair. And I wanted my son to look clean for the funeral. And then when the nurse said that to me, I started shedding. I shed about two tears. My wife said, what's wrong? I said, don't worry about it. And I woke up. I'm at the hospital. Couldn't even talk. And she says, Jay, she was about to tell me what happened. I put my hand up like, I don't want to hear it. I get it. That's when my journey started. Then my mother got dementia. Okay, I can go down the line, but my mother, he used my mother's demented state to wean me from the cares of my soul. He taught me first and foremost how to become a comprehensive man, because I was just a masculine male. I only allowed myself to express and to feel masculine emotions. Anything that wasn't considered acceptable for a man to feel, I didn't feel. Like compassion, I was a nurturer, but I shut that off. I was a creator, I shut that off, because painting and drawing in my community, you would consider wink and soft. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I loved even planting and things like that, but you couldn't be a gardener and a boy. What's wrong with you, man? Right. And so I couldn't even care for my mom, Jay, because I knew how to protect her. I knew how to provide. The pharmaceutical companies would call and stress her out. I knew how to deal with those guys. I knew how to deal with the doctors who wanted to prescribe her psych meds, but didn't have enough time to really listen to what's causing her to have these mental breakdowns. But you want to give her medication and you don't even know the cause and effect. But I didn't know how to nurture her. Didn't know how to be long-suffering. I learned that when I lost it one time and I asked God to take my mother's life because I thought she wasn't living. And I shared in battle cry, he made it so clear. He says, Jason, that's not love. He says, that's fear. And he says, you need to become a comprehensive man for her to be taken care of the way she needs to be. After that moment, man, I started caressing her more, massaging her scalp when she was just getting very agitated. I would do her nails, Jay, file them, paint them. One day the caregiver was overwhelmed with women because her help didn't come. I had to wash my mom. And she sat at the table. I fixed the breakfast and she said, looked at me and just said, thank you. And that, you know, hits me a little hard today. But if, you know, if I was just limited to masculinity, and what's sad is that that one adjective, what simply means, man, it means attributes that are traditionally ascribed to men as strength, boldness, aggression, power, etc. If I were to continue to allow myself to be under that umbrella, I would have missed the, you know, just the rain of the blessings flowing that was coming down, because I was like, oh no, I can't operate in that. And that's why it's difficult for the Most High to only use masculine men. Because when he says, be a nurturer, we can't. When he says, be compassionate, we can't. When he says, be weak so that the power of Christ is perfected, we can't. Because what we have to do, we have to be strong all the time. What do we tell each other, Jay, if we're down or hurting? We say, be strong, brother, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, stay strong.
Stay strong, yep.
It is impossible for anyone to stay strong. And here it is, one of the greatest warriors in the Bible, David, he cried out to the Most High all throughout the book of Psalms. He felt fear. He didn't hide his fear. He was scared. And he let it be known, okay, I'm scared for my life. And that's why he would pray to him. How many men today, Jay, are dead because they didn't have the opportunity or felt that they couldn't feel fear? And I talk about that, you know, and it's It's a tragedy, Jay. It really is. And so that's what happened with me, my man. That moment when I prayed to be broken and he gracefully broke me, I became who I am today. And I was able to be obedient because I was no longer in his way. And I could just end with this one. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And that's what we have to understand. And now I strive to keep his word.
Yeah. That's really well said. I loved reading your book, Battle Cry. Again, it's coming out in September, September 21st. I loved reading the version that I have. I know there's the final version that people need to go check out, but I got an advanced copy. Mm-hmm. But it felt like you were speaking the way you and I are having a conversation right now. It didn't feel like you were writing when I read the book. It felt like you were speaking. And one of the things that you've consistently said in this conversation, you said it with Joe Rogan, you said it in the book, is you refer to God as the Most High, and you refer to Jesus as Yeshua. And I know the Most High and Yeshua are in God's word, and you hear that in certain circumstances, maybe in a classroom setting, right? But you speak very clearly when you're sharing about your faith in the Lord in using those terms, the Most High and Yeshua. Why use it? And what was it that has helped you have this relationship with God and being able to refer to him that way, as opposed to what you hear very, very much in the general circles as just either Jesus or Lord or Savior or God or Father?
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, that's a very good question, because it is an intimate relationship. Recently, I just wanted to call him his name. When I, you know, you talk to any theologian, they'll tell you his name was not Jesus. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't. There was no J in the Hebrew alphabet. It's not even a Hebrew name. And you don't translate names. Like my name and your name is Jason across the world. You know, Osama bin Laden name we didn't translate it to English. That's right. His name.
Yeah.
And so when I found that out, I'm like, man, Yeshua or Yahushua. I'm like, whoa. Which means, you know, just salvation, the Lord is salvation. I'm like, it was beautiful. And then when you talk to other theologians who know, they say it's actually a very beautiful name. And then when you hear David call him the Most High, God is just a title. There are many gods, sure, but there is only one Most High. Yeah. And so when I call him the Most High, well, you'll hear him say Yahweh or Yahuwah. And we say hallelujah, highest praise to who? Yah. Not Jah. It was no J in the alphabet. So hallelujah. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
so it's highest praise to Yahuwah or Yahweh. And so when you see that, like, wow, this is amazing. Or it was one song, Jeffrey Osborne made it with the other guy. I think his name is Michael McDowell. No, it's called Yah Will Be There.
Yah Will Be There.
Yah Will Be. He's talking about Yahuwah. Mm. It's Y-A-H. Yah Will Be There. And so it's always kumbaya.
Right.
You see, it's always there. Obadiah, Jeremiah. It's always there. And so when I found that out, man, my life, my relationship, everything changed. And I still say Jesus, man. I prayed over people. I don't even trip over that. You know, it's just like if my wife, I often tell people, my wife can say, she can say, Jay. She can call me Jay, okay? If she's in the backyard and say an animal was trying to hurt, and she just screamed, Jay! I hear her now come. Jason! I'm busting the glass.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Or like my DJ name was Magi, which was one of the wise men in the Bible. I would say, well, not the wise, that was the wise men. They were called Magi's, kingmakers.
Sure.
If she said, Magi, I know she's calling me and I'm coming. Jason! Boom! I'm break it, because you know, are you married? I don't even know. Are you married?
Yes, 22 years I've been married.
So your wife can call you a nickname or whatever everyone else call you, but when she call you your name,
yes,
you're coming. But I've called, so, and even in that, I'm cautious because I prayed in the name of Jesus, and a friend of mine hadn't walked in 8 days. I prayed and lay hands on her with oil while she was in a hospital bed, and an hour of praying, and the doctor, I was about to leave. I'm like, okay, God, it didn't. You told me to come because she was going to walk. The doctors came in, man, I'm walking out, Jay. She says, I want to try walking. The physical therapist, they were like, cool. You know, she took the first steps. I didn't say Yahushua didn't.
Right.
So I really, because God is all knowing, he knows these things. But once you know his name, his real name, why not call him that? But I don't trip on anyone who's, because to many, Jesus has a personal place in people's hearts. It's like, who am I? See, that's the thing, man. It's like groupthink. You want everyone to think the same. It's like, allow the Holy Spirit to bring that revelation to people. You know, and so many of us with our Bibles, you know, it's like, are you okay with not knowing? You know, theology means what? The study of God. We have a Bible with 66 books. And in the gospel, it says that Yeshua or Jesus, if everything was written that he did, that no one of the books in the world could contain it. Okay, we're talking about what God the Father did in the body 33 years when he lived, right? Okay, and that couldn't be contained. How can 66 books contain who God the Father is?
Right.
The Bible says his ways are not ours, nor his thoughts are ours. But yet we always think we can speak for him. And we need to be in a place when you think you can figure him out, he's no longer God.
That's right.
Just say you don't know. Yeah. Just say you don't know, and it's okay. Some you can't know. I got so many friends who are apologists and, I mean, serious guys in the world, and they're to the place now. They say, Jay, you just won't know everything. And that's where they are now, because the way this country is, and, you know, everybody is in fight or flight mode. I don't care, the church, whatever, okay? And it's just like you're seeing that this knowledge of puffing is puffing us up so much so that we can't even serve and help people. And that's why people say, you know, preach the gospel more, all of that. I'm like, be the gospel. What did Yeshua say? Many will what? Say my name. But I would say, what? Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. He's telling you then what you're supposed to do. That's how people, the best way to spread your faith is to have it. And when you have it, you be like James, because then your faith won't be about what you say. Your faith will be about what you do. Mm. You know, and that's why, you know, don't get me started on that stuff, but, you know, and that's what men are tired of. Men are tired of the tradition, the men's conferences where everything is just hyper-masculine. We're going to, you know, everything is going to be over smoke, fire, and rah, we get the curse too. We can smoke cigars. We can. Men are like, look, I live this facade daily. I need an opportunity to release what I'm feeling with. And that's what blessed me about the Joe Rogan interview.
That's right.
Man, my wife was sending me comments from truckers saying that they hadn't cried. And they don't even know how long. But listening to that podcast, they just cried and cried on the road. Do you understand how powerful that is? So when you tell a man, oh, you as a boy, big boys don't cry when he grow up. Now he becomes a man with suppressed anger, unresolved anger, because anger itself isn't bad, but a suppressed, unresolved anger, suppressed trauma, all this other stuff. Now he takes it out on his family because he doesn't even have an opportunity to release it. Then we're spiritual and we miss the fact that Yeshua or Jesus cried when Lazarus died and he had the power to raise him.
That's right.
Why would you cry? And you can, I give this analogy. I say, if you were to die on this podcast, I see you fall. I'd be like, Jay, I wouldn't cry. I said, come forth, Jay, wake up. Let's go. We got to finish this interview.
Yeah.
Yeshua cried because what? He was God in the flesh. He was in the body. He needed to release it. And then when you study the work of biochemist Dr. William Frey, who discovered that tears also contain stress hormones, when you cry from emotional or just trauma, emotional stress or trauma, these stress hormones get excreted from your body when you cry. That's why you typically feel relieved or a little better after you cry.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
So Christ was overloaded. He just lost his best. Just the news of it is traumatic. You can't suppress that. And as a man, it's like, you know, so then we get hyper spiritual. You know, a lot of times what I'm discovering, especially in the Black community, Black church, when we go down and you're crying, you're screaming, they say it was the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I can't question that. But I know it is just from interviewing people, it's also trauma release.
Right.
What did God the Father say? Cast your cares upon me because I love you. Cry out to me. Won't I hear you? So when I said, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, because I'm releasing the trauma of my mother passing or struggling. I could, or a friend of mine losing his son in a tragic car accident. That's traumatic. I need to have the freedom as a man to cry out in a way that's masculine, but also in a way where I can express other emotions like crying and my fears and like David, oh, my Lord, have you forsaken me? Where are you? You know what I'm saying? Why can't a man say that? Oh, he just has to be strong. Oh, my faith is always in the Lord. I'm never shaken. Come on, man. We're human beings.
Yeah. I hate that we've established a culture where we can't, and even in the church too, but especially even in sports and other places where we can't be who we really are, what we're really going through. And we have to put on this. I mean, I find myself in doing that quite often. Like, everything's great. Look at me. I'm doing this. And it's like, man, you don't want to see when I pull back the curtain what's really going on here. How do we cultivate a place where we can be vulnerable and open and even cry in some cases? Mm-hmm. Because I think the masks are what really is keeping all of us from being able to heal and being able to move forward.
Like I say, you know, men need to break free from emotional incarceration. You know what I mean? It's a self-imposed sentence where it was crazy about emotional incarceration, Jay. We're sitting in this mental jail cell, okay?
Right.
But the door is open. And as men, we know we can change at any moment. I don't care. I tell men who are small in stature, big in stature, whatever, feel that they're not strong, feel that they're whatever. You know you can flip the switch. Every last one of us, we choose not to, because this world we know probably don't want to see that side of us. Majority of us, especially if you're the provider or you're what they call a strong man, people typically only ask how we're doing, because if we're not doing well, it'll only affect their well-being.
Right.
It's not as you're saying, so I can't let them know I'm struggling. You know, my answer to that was, when are you good enough just to be you?
Social media doesn't help with that either, right, Jay?
Oh, actually, yeah, for sure, because everyone only posts their highlight reels. That's why I post my struggles. Many of my posts on Instagram, especially, I'm sharing, it's a journal, it's a cyber journal where you can come into my life so you can see that I don't have it all together. I'm striving for this. You know what I'm saying? I am literally working my salvation out with fear and trembling. Okay. Like Paul says. And so when a man can see that, so the key thing is this, man, I said in battle cry, first of all, no condemnation. You know, if you're a follower of Christ, the Bible clearly says that there's no condemnation in Christ. Okay. So I tell brothers, stand up off that bed in that mental cell that you're in. And many of people, the motivational preachers say, run on out because it's ready. No. Take a moment to think on some things. You've been through a lot, because you run on out, you get out there. Now you're realizing you still feel the same. You can say, oh, this ain't what it was supposed to be. Now you're back in your cell. I say, take your time, think through some things and live in each step towards that door. You know, as a man, when you get tired of not being able to say you're tired, you're at the place where you need to say, hey, God didn't create me to be everything for all of you guys. I'm supposed to be used by him so that he can be all things through me. Okay? Period. And that's what we are. We're just vessels. That's how all things are done, through Christ, when we allow him to use us. But if you're just confined to the world's definition of a man and not the Most High's definition, we stay in these cells. But when you realize you're a nurturer, we're talking about sports. I share this too in Battle Cry. Kobe Bryant, when he passed, okay, of course, with the 9 other passengers and his beautiful daughter, Gianna, what happened on social media? You started seeing pictures of him not just being dunking and all that. What did you see? Pictures of him being what? A nurturer. And then what happened? You started seeing other men post pictures of them being a nurturer with their daughters. And then the hashtag girl dad started trending. It took one man to show the world that it's okay to be comprehensive. We're nurturers too. We're compassionate too. God didn't create some emotions for women and some for men. He created both genders human and all emotions for both of us. You got Barak in the scriptures and Deborah. I talk about this in Courageous Transparency. He said he wouldn't go to war if Deborah wouldn't go with him. His name literally meant lightning. He was a beast. But in that moment, he had what? He was scared. And he felt comfort with Deborah coming, okay? Because she was connected to Yah. You know, and so we can't, you know, what was wrong with that? To me, it took courage for him to acknowledge or feel his fears, because going into a battle scared could have cost him his life and Israel freedom. So as a man, you're going to lock yourself and confine yourself up into this limited definition. So I tell men, the way to break free is to become a comprehensive man. The world needs us to be masculine. Don't swerve on what I'm saying. That's very important, because the firemen, if they just stay nurturers and the building is collapsing and they don't rush in and snatch them doors off and grab them kids and jump out the window, no one's life would be safe. So we need masculine. That's why I understand what my brothers, when they say we need to reframe masculinity, what they're trying to say, we need to reframe manhood. But masculinity is not manhood. It's an adjective. You don't need to reframe masculinity, because nothing is toxic about it. It's just an adjective. Harriet Tubman was masculine at one point because she had to have a gun and anyone would stop her on a mission, she would shoot them. You got female athletes. Same thing, you know, power lifters, those are masculine attributes, but women don't allow themselves to be confined to an adjective. You wouldn't just say a woman confined to femininity, because women have to be anything and everything at any given moment. You know, in the era my mother was born, they said a woman's place is in the kitchen. What if they would allow the society, like we allow this society to define us, what if they would allow society to define or confine them to a kitchen? Do you know how much we will be missing in life if we only expect our women just to be in the kitchen cooking? And then think about the young men who want to be chefs, okay? They couldn't, in my area, you couldn't be in the kitchen because they think you're soft or weak. But look who run the industry. Look now. And that's how we play ourselves, Jay. And so a comprehensive man is someone who's courageous but compassionate, strong but sensitive, a man who can freely live from the good in his heart instead of his fears. That's the goal, comprehensive manhood, not masculinity. That's too limited. The goal is being comprehensive. And that's how I believe, in judging from the scriptures and the mighty men in there, they were, well, forget everyone else. Let's deal with Yahushua, Jesus. He was comprehensive. Why? Because he made a whip of cords, a whip the money changers out the temple. That was very masculine, dogmatic, everything. But he was also compassionate, healing people, those who were sick, many were abandoned. The woman was about to get stoned. He wasn't supposed to be talking to her. That's the goal. So I say, if Christ was comprehensive, that's what I need to be. And that's, and Jay, when that happened for men, you see, not only the church changed, but the world, man.
Yeah, it's going to change. You saw a taste of that in your conversation with Joe. And certainly this book is one that people got to get. Battle Cry, Waging and Winning the War Within. Jason Wilson's our guest. My last question, which kind of deviates from everything we just talked about, but it's more of a fun question. It's a new one that I've been asking here on Sports Spectrum. Describe your perfect sports day for you. Like, you get a day and it can involve sports in any way, any kind of sports. What would that perfect day look like for you?
That's easy. My favorite sports moment of sports day is one day I pray that I'll be able to take my son courtside to a Lakers game.
Okay.
Yep. Courtside with my son, because I'm not a fanatic, but I love the men who play sports, meaning I care about you. Like, if you win and you happy, I'm happy for you. But And this is a transparent moment, and I'm not saying I'm right and not being fanatic, because that could have come from some trauma when I lost my best friend to a heart attack, who we watched the games with. You know, I watched the games with every Sunday, and so my life kind of changed a little bit. So that's just some transparency there and some things I'm trying to work through. But my greatest sports moment, man, if I could ever afford tickets to a Lakers game courtside with my son.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm done after that. That's like something I would love, man.
And maybe they'll play my team, the Celtics, and we could, you know, see the Celtics and Lakers battle a little bit, like in the 80s, right?
Oh, that would be, oh my God, my son. And for me, I would love the game because I like LeBron. AD Anthony Davis gave my son a signed jersey, man. Like,
that's amazing. Yeah.
Like, this guy is real because my son was doing well in school. Okay, and went out his way to get it to me. So for me so I like these guys as people first. But when my son, who's a sports fanatic, okay, to embrace that moment with him, like, man, that would be incredible. Yeah,
that would be pretty awesome. Well, maybe somebody can bring you out to LA to speak, and the compensation is courtside seats to a Lakers game.
Hey,
we'll have
my
to make
son,
that work, Jay. Right?
My son would be like, Dad, don't worry about your honorary. That's good enough. Let's just go to the game. I help you carry your bags and everything.
That's
and
right.
So yeah. So yeah, no, absolutely, man. I would like that's just a moment. Like, that's a great question, man. That's a very good question. But that would be.
And it changes when you become a dad too. Like, I love that your desire for a perfect sports day involves your son's mm-hmm. passion, you know, and I would probably say the same thing about my desire. I have a daughter. I just have one child. She's 17 now, but my desire, my perfect sports day, you know, before I was a dad would involve my interests, but now it definitely involves, you know, her involved in that. And that's really cool, man. It's been so good to have you here, brother. I appreciate you. Congrats on the new book. Battle Cry. People need to go get the first book as well, Cry Like a Man, and this new one, Battle Cry, Waging and Winning the War within September 21st, mm-hmm. it released.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for being here on the show on Sports Spectrum.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate the time, man.
And many thanks to Jason Wilson, the author of the new book, Battle Cry, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. That book is available and out now everywhere books are found. Make sure you get yourself a copy. I promise you, it will speak to you. It's available now everywhere books are found. Make sure you go get a copy. MrJasonWilson.com is his website. You can learn more about Jay there. Maybe you want to ask him to come speak. Maybe you want to get in touch with him. MrJasonWilson.com. Appreciate Jay, man. That was such a powerful and transparent conversation. We need to have more of those in life, not just on podcasts like Sports Spectrum or Joe Rogan, but we need to have more conversations like this going forward. Hopefully this encouraged you as it did for me. Thanks to you for listening as well. As we wind down, please do us one quick favor. Whatever app that you listen to this podcast on, click subscribe, follow whatever it is, whatever app that you listen to it on. That way you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. We have a ton of episodes that we've been releasing, 3 to 4 a week. The only way to not miss the different types of interviews that we have here on Sports Spectrum is to click that subscribe button or that follow button so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And then do us a favor. Use this interview as a resource and tell someone about the conversation that was had here today with Jason Wilson. Tell someone about the conversation on authenticity, on helping boys become men, on emotional incarceration. Use Sports Spectrum as a resource to tell someone about Jesus, about Yeshua, about the Most High, as Jason Wilson refers to him. That's what we want to do here at Sports Spectrum. Bring Jesus into the conversation, keep Jesus in the conversation, and then have you go tell someone about Jesus, maybe because of the conversations that we have. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.